It's the E-Commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Chloe and it's great to have you listening. This is the second podcast from our 2020 e-commerce master plan growth series sponsored by Omnisend. The first episode was Nicola Fox from Misguided sharing her email marketing and customer communications tips. And this time we've got quite a lot about ads coming up. And it's the fourth time we've dedicated January to helping you find new ways to grow your e-commerce business. We've got great and varied episodes coming up as the month rolls on. There's nine of them in all, numbers 249 to 257, so make sure you catch them all. For this episode, I asked a past favourite guest back to update us on how he's been growing his company over the last 18 months. We talk about shifting from a sales growth to a profit growth approach, new product development, managing different sales channels, plus a lot of advertising tips. Before we get into that, please do check out the sponsors. Omnisend, the marketing automation platform tailored for e-commerce. Omnisend provides sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from just one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Just visit omnisend.com/masterplan and get started. Everyone in your business should read this book, whether they are in marketing or not. Why? Because it removes all the smoke and mirrors around marketing for e-commerce, channel by channel, but still delivers for your marketing team on detail and how to plan for success. That's what Nicola Fox, ex-head of CR at Misguided, said about my new book, E-Commerce Marketing, How to Get Traffic That Buys to Your Website. You can grab the Kindle or paperback on your local Amazon store now. Or if you're not quite ready to commit to buying the book, head to ecommercemarketingbook.com to get the free crash course, including the first two chapters. And now to introduce today's special guest. Davies Roberts is an inventor and the founder of Flare Audio, the sound technology company who retail headphones, earphones, and much more. After a rapid initial growth, he's now all about maximising profits. Flare Audio are turning over around £4 million per year, and profitability has doubled in the last 12 months. Hello, Davies.
Hi, how are you doing, Chloe? Good to speak to you again.
I'm good. It's good to speak to you too. And I feel that it sounds like an awful lot's happened since you were last on the show in mid-2018. So what's been going on?
Yeah, a lot's happened. Well, Flare moved premises about a year ago to a place that's about triple the size. We had to put a lot of production facilities in place, and a lot of different departments have formed. When I talked to you back then, we were in an explosive growth situation where we'd just come off crowdfunding. Just discovered Facebook ads a couple of years earlier, and things were really flying. So really, over the last year, it's been a case of getting things back under control, getting processes in place, starting to improve efficiencies in different areas of the business, and getting our marketing succinct and global as a brand, so that we're saying one voice, one message all the time.
And as I mentioned in the intro, you've doubled profitability in the last 12 months. Has that been a big focus for you? You know, going from that explosive growth into a place of kind of sustainable profitability?
Yes, that was, that's been a real, it's not been a struggle per se, but it's been a challenge, because what enabled our instant growth on Facebook was the worldwide targeting, which let the algorithm basically sell to 172 countries. And from there, we've been really starting to focus down on the main countries that are buying our product and the efficient countries that we can ship to. There are issues around the world with shipping and getting product to people on time. So it's sort of getting all that sorted out and getting marketing to the people that you can make money out of, rather than selling to countries where you're constantly having stuff go missing or constantly getting inefficient ad servings because of being highly competitive for, say, like the USA. It's a case of getting that refinement, getting the right products to the right market, and making sure you control how that's all delivered.
it's been a big ad optimization focus, but not just looking at the numbers that Facebook's giving you, but looking at the offline ops side of things and customer complaints and the cost of delivery to then make a whole profitability decision about what you're doing with the ads.
Yeah, exactly right. Also, looking at what people say about our products and listening to them. To get profitability higher, that you make better product. And that's been one of the focuses this year. We realized that sleeps, although it blocks really loud snoring, because it had solid metal inside the earplug, it wasn't totally comfortable to wear all night long. So we listened and looked on Facebook and on other socials to see and understand what people really wanted. And we realized there wasn't an ideal sleeping earplug out there. Sleeps is a small ball of slow rebound memory foam on a soft silicon stick. And you literally squeeze the silicon and just pop it in your ear. It's really simple. And the market wasn't being served with a simple solution. You had blocks of foam, you had our rigid ear protectors, or you had bits of wax that you can push in your ear, and no one was acing it. And that led to the development of that product. And then that reduced our cost of acquisition, because suddenly now people were really, you know, getting this and wanted to buy it more efficiently. So costs, it's not just about getting departments right. It's also about getting the right product in the right market and developing your product.
I love that you're not just saying about we looked at our own customer feedback and what they were telling us, but you've actually proactively gone out there on the social networks to see what they're saying to each other about the product in order to develop it. And I think a lot of businesses miss that trick, and it's not difficult to do, is it?
No, they ignore the complaints and they just try to bury their head in the sand with it. And we don't, we're very aware. I mean, I say openly that metal is not an ideal ear protector if you want to wear it all night long. It's great for blocking very loud snoring if you're in a position where you need to do that. But for all night comfort, you've got to get a solution that is really works. And so literally taking it on the chin and going, this isn't working for this market. We need to adapt and develop. And that's really the core of what we've been doing in all different areas of the business, is looking socially, understanding where the trends are going, understand where we want to go as a company, and understanding where we're not going currently and what we're not doing.
As well as refining the earplugs, you've also been launching quite a few other products at the moment, which I think a lot of people would say, well, if you're looking at improving profitability, surely a whole load of R&D is not the way to go about it.
No, I mean, it's a case of, we've got 13 patents now as a company, and one of the particular patents that we had was for loudspeakers. And we knew that we were able to develop an environmentally friendly loudspeaker made from paper and aluminium, but we held back that until we were approached by Selfridges to install it in their new Selfridges cinema. And with an opportunity like that coming along, you can't just go, oh, no, well, we can't afford to do that just now. You have to take it on the chin and go, we have to develop this. So there's over 100 zeros in Selfridges Cinema on three screens of Dolby Atmos. Now, most people have gone, well, you're a earphone manufacturer, you're a headphone manufacturer. No, it's not. We're a sound technology company, and we have all these technologies, and we were trying to pace them out, but when opportunity comes along, you have to take it and just do it.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like you could have planned that for 2024 or something all you like, but if Selfridges turn around and go, can you help us here, that's an amazing opportunity to launch and test and prove. And
yeah, exactly. From that, Harrods came along, and they 2 weeks ago asked us to put it into the store, and that went in last week, so we've now got zero in Harrods. And you know, for a brand that has been scaling in ways that are very similar to other companies that are scaling like we are on the social side of things, it's a big challenge because we don't have the infrastructure in place to support all the dealer requirements, brochures, all the different things that they want in store. So luckily for us, we have a very good relationship with them. They know where we're at, and we're developing it with them and getting it in store. So we're really not following the norm, which is, you know, you develop a product, you spend a lot of money on marketing it, and then you push it out there. We are developing it based on opportunity and based on feedback and based on dynamic research on our own adverts. So I think a lot of companies are doing that, but it's for us, we're quite broad in how we approach things, i.e. from loudspeakers through to earplugs. Exactly. I mean, our mission is to develop technology all around the ear. Long live ears is the motto of the company, the tagline. No one is doing that. No one is perfecting what we hear. There's plenty of people making glasses for our eyes and allowing us to see clearly. Nobody's doing that for our ears. Everyone's making sort of technology products or technologies that feed biometric data back or hearing aids that amplify sound, but nobody is thinking about how we can make sound quality clearer to our eardrums. And that's what we are completely focused on. And what we intend to do over the next few years is to become the global leader. But we need, in order to do that, we need one, a growth product. Two, that product needs to be completely innovative and new discovery type of product, because the modern world now is not about buying the same thing again and again. It's about buying something new, and something new that is really exciting and very broad appeal. So we're working on a couple of projects right now for Q1 next year, which we hope are exactly that.
So there's very much a where you take it next to, I guess, get the sales growth back on track. Now the profitability is under control. Would that be a fair assessment?
Exactly. I think we've got about a dozen different R&D projects on the go simultaneously. The loudspeaker, the one is sort of working on a little baby Mini Zero for Harrods. We're working on an environmental loudspeaker that's much lower cost because we know that venues are crying out for low-cost, high-quality sound products, but also the environmental standpoint, because there's a big problem with loudspeakers. They do last a long time, but they have to cut down trees to make them, or you have to plastic injection mold. And so using recycled paper and aluminium, which is 100% recyclable, is the right thing to do, and it's the right technology that we have. And it's just a case of, right, okay, well, the MI market is a slow market. It's a market that is resistive to change, and we're never going to make, you know, a livable amount of money off that market. But it's incredibly important to us because we come from Pro Audio. We love live music venues. We think they need support. And so we're trying to create a range of the product for them that gives them that angle, a bit like what's happened with Selfridges with the paper loudspeakers in there.
And I guess there's certainly no harm in getting one of your products that does great things for ears and for sound in an environment where people who would be interested in buying your consumer products are going to be hanging out. You know, to have in a venue great quality speakers for people who might want to have earplug protection whilst they're listening, who listen to music on headphones, and the same with the Harrods and the Selfridges customers.
Yeah, it's all about this spiderweb approach, as I've referred to it before, which is a lot of... Well, when we first rocketed as a company, it was the isolated ear protectors that rocketed for us. And I was very aware that we had one channel, one thread holding us up in terms of a sales driver. And so for us, it's all about trying to spiderweb out now with lots of different threads, all producing brand awareness, all producing a small amount of revenue. That gets your profitability up, especially if you can make the products cost effectively and you don't have to invest in huge amounts of stock, then you can have multiple SKUs in different sectors that are all adding a bit to the pie, if you like.
We've talked a little bit about ads there, and I know you are incredibly passionate about your Facebook ads, and you really get involved there too. So I wondered, you know, as we're starting a new year and everyone's looking at what strategies they should be doing, are there a couple of Facebook ad tips or other ad platform tips you've got for the listeners?
Yeah, it still remains to be lookalike audiences, which are really what set Facebook apart from everyone else, as well as the ability to reach so many people. So what we've been doing recently on our adverts is taking our audiences and really segmenting them based on when they bought the product, what price they bought the product at, trying to really get those custom audiences refined, male, female splits, whereabouts they are in the world. And so we can target more and more effectively losing lookalikes. Lookalikes are where it's at. It just got to get the right seed audience for it. So that's really one of the main tricks. We're also now taking a step back, and we're actually focusing on country by country. So over the last couple of weeks, we've just started quite aggressive adverts in the UK, again, using lookalike audiences, but also a few demographics. And we're layering that up with against Twitter and Google, and again, using the same creatives so that when people see us on Facebook and then they're off surfing elsewhere, they're seeing the same creative or a very similar creative that looks the same, so that people then get reminded, I've seen this elsewhere. I think that's a mistake that a lot of brands make, is that they have different ads for different platforms, and you lose the brand identity or the link between. And so that's what we're focusing on right now. And we're doing it country by country, so that as we build up a country's turnover and sales, we then move to another country. And I think it's that kind of approach, that sort of fragmented bit, step by step, and layering on the Google AdWords as well, as I talked to you earlier about, is the Google AdWords is for us has been a real pain, because we're not a normal brand in that we don't, for example, we don't just sell TVs and you could search TVs and up you come on a pay per click. Our products are unique. So it's been a case of trying to find a way that we can come up in the search terms cost effectively. And we've recently just done that with our smart display ads that we're using in the UK. And we're just being very refined on our targeting, just going for the precise keywords that will trigger an ad, not getting too carried away with it, and doing the same on each platform like that. And that gives you the efficiency.
Great tips there. And I should just say to the audience that when Davey said, as we talked about earlier, that was before we hit record. So you guys can't get that. I'm sorry. Before you start rewinding, going, where was the other Google Ads bit? It was before we hit record. So sorry, guys.
Yikes.
But so how are you finding juggling Facebook, Google Ads and Twitter ads? Because I know a lot of businesses struggle to run just Google and Facebook and do a good job of both of them. And then adding Twitter into the mix is something very few retailers are doing at the moment.
It's patience, actually. We were running worldwide and just every day push. And it's because of the profitability going up that we've had a bit more space and a bit more time to work out strategy and more holistically. And so what it's been is, right, and it's a test and learn, but in a small way. So, for example, with our sleeping earplugs that we've got, we started a campaign on Facebook running to the UK, specific demographics. We watch the CPAs come in. We understand where we're getting for on Facebook. And so we then mirrored that exact campaign, slightly different wording on Google, and run some pay-per-click ads. We've been running that for a couple of days. We see that efficiency come up. We then understand what the CPA is on there. So we can then throttle the two so that we bring one down and the other one up till we get the same similar CPAs. And then again, we layer that onto Twitter. So again, same thing, same targeting, same message, same creatives on Twitter. Bearing in mind that attribution on Twitter is really poor, and you have to very much rely on it being a first sort of news bulletin type of ad serving. So people will see a tweet about sleep's earplugs, and they may or may not click on the ad, but they may well go onto Google and then search for it. And so if they then find the ad on Google and they click it, you're getting last click on Google, but you know that Twitter has at least strike that initial set light to touch paper, if you like, finding that first person first. And Twitter's very good at that, but it's blind. So it literally is a case of set the budget and just throw it away. It's a bit like billboard advertising, where you don't know what you're getting from the analytics side. But we do use it, yes, and it has been very significant. And there was an issue, actually. I don't know if I talked about this on the previous podcast. I don't think I did. I went on holiday to Cuba, and unfortunately, our entire ad platform got blocked because they don't let you advertise if you're in Cuba. I didn't know that.
So because you posted that you were in Cuba, or they geo-targeted the fact you were in Cuba, the whole thing came down?
No, it was worse than that. They saw an IP address that had me in a terrorist country, according to the US at that time.
Gosh.
And so the whole entire ad account got frozen. Now, luckily, I'm pretty well connected in Facebook, so we got that lifted after about 48 hours. And I couldn't then log in.
Until
I got back to the UK. So what that meant was we kept the ads off for 10 days and I had to find something else. And because of that duress, I created some Twitter ads and we saw the revenue come in. Now we could turn the ads off, the revenue stopped, turn the ads on, the revenue came in, and it was all attributed to direct sales. So
yeah, you can't track it, but it's pretty concrete that when it's on, the sales lift, and when it's off. So, you know, you've got to go with it, haven't you?
It was one of those. So that was the point where I realized actually Twitter's got, you know, it has got some use, although it's incredibly blind. It's incredibly too quick. And there's no, people can't engage too much. They can just, you know, go off and it's very, you know, as we know, it's not the politest of platforms in terms of people are aggressive on there and they're quite blunt and all the rest of it. But if you get your keyword targeting right, and if people are talking about, you know, snoring at night or they need earplugs, and you get them to serve an advert, you do get pretty good results. So yeah, it's another platform that we're on now. And although it's got the least of our ad spend, it's a top of funnel sort of reach based platform for us.
And whilst you've been doing all this with the ads, you've also, from what I can work out, you've also been pretty busy with the number of channels you're selling through. So it looks to me like you're wholesaling to people, you're on the marketplaces, and you're going direct. Is that causing you challenges in the search for profitability, or is that a key part of the project?
No. Well, the good thing is that we're not going after this; it's coming to us. So, because of the reach that we're getting on the social channels, we get approached by the retailers, and of course, we take a hit on the margin with our channel. But at the same time, we're not having to do any advertising for them, and they're getting their own sales. So it actually works out, you know, pretty similar, to be honest. We like having the channel partners because they're believing in us, they're building our brand, and they're effectively investing in us. So yeah, it gives me a warm feeling with the retailers. I think retailing is absolutely incredibly important, and we have I think about 40 across the world who are doing a great job. Because if you're in Australia and you want to buy our product, you're gonna have to wait weeks if we ship it to you, or at least a couple of weeks. Whereas Earjobs, who are one of the big earplug resellers out there, are championing our brand. They put us pretty much on their homepage, and they're getting great results out there using our product. And so what happens is when we serve adverts and they go to Australia, a high percentage of people go onto Google, then see the local supplier and get it locally.
And you mentioned, you know, the Australian supplier there is quite a niche, retailer. Are most of your wholesalers niche, or are you in some of the big boys as well?
So we're in Boots Hearing Care. We are in Selfridges and Harrods. We and then have Gear for Music, who's one of the major sort of retailers of ear protectors and earphones. We have Hi-Fi headphones distributed through KS Distribution. So we have a mix. We're certainly not yet in the major retailers. I don't think we're quite ready for that yet. We probably need another 6 months to build up Sleeps first, and then that will be an ideal product for major retailer, and I say we've got this exciting new product coming next year, which I can't talk about at the moment. But when we release it, it's going to be exciting because it's kind of really interesting. It's a case really of just keep pushing, keep developing, and keep learning.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Omnisend, the marketing automation platform tailored for e-commerce. Omnisend provides sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from just one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Just visit omnisend.com/masterplan and get started. In the last ad break, you heard a review from a retailer just like you of my new book, E-commerce Marketing: How to Get Traffic That Buys to Your Website. It's a Kindle bestseller in the UK, USA, and Australia. And as a past podcast guest Chantal put it on amazon.co.uk, if you run an e-commerce business, buy this book. You can follow her advice by grabbing the Kindle or paperback on your local Amazon store now. Or if you're not quite ready to commit to buying the book, then head to ecommercemarketingbook.com to get the free crash course, including the first two chapters.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our business to the next level. So Davies, are you ready for the top tips?
Go for it, yeah.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I don't particularly read books, but if I was going to recommend one, it would be low carb, low sugar, keto. For me, it's changed my life and saved my life. I've lost six stone over the last couple of years by quitting sugar. And it's made my brain so much better. I'm so much more calm. I don't suffer from anxiety anymore. If I eat sugar and I wake up in the morning, I feel depressed. So I'd highly recommend a book about keto and low sugar and getting rid of those refined carbohydrates, eating vegetables and eating all organic.
Very cool. Like it. Look, left field. Like a left field book tip.
I don't read.
Okay. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Facebook continues to be the number one channel. I think 75% of our sales come through Facebook currently. I don't think people really use Facebook to its full potential. I think the custom audiences and lookalikes, although they're well known, I don't know if they're used in the way that they can be. And I think that for us, refining who your audience are, refining your customers, and then targeting lookalikes on them is and remains to be the best way of targeting anyone ever in marketing.
Yeah, I would agree. I get to see into quite a few Facebook ad accounts, and I would say far too many people are still just boosting posts, let alone even getting anywhere close to unlocking. Yes, depressingly so.
Well, that's just it's engagement. That's just all you're going to do is get people who like to click on something. And the algorithm is going to find lots of those.
Yes, everyone listening, if you are still boosting posts, stop. Go and spend some time looking at proper Facebook ads, because that's what we've been talking about today. Okay, rant over. Tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
It's probably got to be Freshdesk. That really revolutionized us. We, up until that point, we were really struggling to amalgamate all emails and messages and tweets and all the different social platforms. And getting that in place and all the reporting that went along with it and all seeing all the CS team, I can say to them, hey, what's the favorite product today? Hey, what's the biggest moan today? I can get all the information I need to help steer and develop our brand. So yeah, Freshdesk.
Excellent. And then the growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
Unique product, new money, don't follow a trend. Find something that's not being done properly, not being solved properly, that's not being answered in the market, and develop and sell it. Because you can have the best marketing strategy in the world, but if your product is not, if it's not got an advantage over other people's, you're just going to be pushing water up a hill. Develop, find something new. Even if you're in a market that's saturated, find out a niche product that is different, something that people are going to want, and some at a price point that puts you ahead of your competition.
Yet another great piece of advice. Thank you, Davies. Now, before we say goodbye, could you let your listeners know, let my listeners know even, where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Yeah, so my name is Davies Roberts. I'm the founder and CEO of Flare Audio. Flare Audio is spelled FlareAudio.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You can engage our customer services staff 9 to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, London time.
Awesome. And thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for being so generous, because you've shared so much and I know it will help many of the listeners. So thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks very much.
So great to catch up with Davies again there. His knowledge and how in depth he gets on the ads platforms is just great. And it's amazing how much he's willing to share with all of us. If you want more on Facebook ads, then do have a listen to his first interview with us, which was number 164, where we get into Facebook ads. And we do a fair bit on Kickstarter too. Now, to get your hands on the notes from today's show, including the top tips, links and details of related episodes, then head over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this interview from our 2020 e-commerce master plan growth series sponsored by Omnisend. Make sure you check out all the others. Now, we get a lot of people finding the e-commerce master plan podcast for the first time during our growth series. So if that's you, please don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And if you've listened before, then do go and let me know what you think of the show by putting a review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever it is you're listening to us via. I love to hear what you think. I hope you have a great week. Keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.